FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz. It's November 13th, 2017. Well, this year does not have much longer to go for it. We've had so many things happen this year that you could never believe. And if I had to pick the one that was probably largest on the screen, it's the backlash. It's the Russiagate that has just dragged on and on and on in the absence of much or little evidence, and really no evidence whatsoever. But it inspired somebody, one of my favorite authors, to write a book. And the name of the book is The Armageddon File. The author is Stephen Kuntz, and he's been a best-selling author now for more than half my life, and really thrilled to have you back on the show. And hey, where do these, well, a lot of times we have to wonder, where do your ideas come from? This time, it's purely a case of life or art imitating life. But first, hey, any questions for Stephen or myself? Email us, kl@kerrylutz.com, and the Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz. Stephen, welcome back.
Well, thank you for having me on your show again.
So where, we don't have to ask where this idea came from, but where others just see news, you saw a book.
Well, yes, you know, the 2016 election surprised great many people with the way it came out. But immediately after the election, great many people started screaming that the Russians had stolen somehow. And I got to thinking about it and thought, you know, there's a novel in there. And so I sat down and wrote one. And stars Jake Grafton and his trusty sidekick, Tommy Carmelini. And Jake is the director of the CIA. And so he's trying to figure out if a foreign power indeed stuck their fingers into the American ballot boxes. And so that's the story. It's a thriller. It's got some, you know, plenty of action and shoot 'em ups. This is not just people sitting around talking in conference rooms. And so anyway, it's hopefully it's a good light read and another take on the American voting system.
Yeah, well, there's a lot to bemoan about the voting system. And look, my own personal thing, and I'm relating this to reality now, is I knew Trump was going to win once he had Reince Priebus as his campaign higher up, because Reince is from Wisconsin and Scott Walker, governor of Wisconsin. So I knew he was going to win Wisconsin. There was never a question about it. So once he wins Wisconsin, and then I live in Florida, I absolutely knew he was going to win Florida. There was never a doubt in my mind, never, because I saw what happened with the Cubans and the Haitians. Clinton lost them. And in fact, he won by 100 something thousand votes, which is the shift in the Cuban vote. So those two states out of the way. And then Ohio, I knew he was going to win, because what happened was Kasich was his enemy. I don't want to get into all the politics. I'm just saying how I knew. And the Priebus took the campaign and the control of the Republican Party in Ohio away from Kasich and ran it himself. So all those factors. But in any event, so the premise of a foreign power somehow actually hacking our election, I'm not just talking about placing some Twitter ads and some Facebook ads and, you know, $100,000 worth and just pushing it aside like that, but rather getting into the computers, hacking them, and changing the outcome. How likely do you think that is?
Well, I think it could be done. You know, obviously, we're talking about swing states, the swing counties in various states. And if you could put your thumb on the scale in just a few counties, key counties that could go either way, you could have a tremendous effect on the election. You know, the electoral system is a winner take all in each state. And so, you know, you would think if we just had a nationwide popular vote, you know, a few hundred votes cheating here and there wouldn't make much difference. But when it's swing counties in swing states, it has an outsized effect.
Yeah, swing states and close elections. You've got to have a close election in order for that to happen. What about the prospect that prior elections, let's forget about Kennedy and Johnson, but prior elections have been hacked and have been predetermined?
Well, I don't think they've been done through computers. I think that there's been some outright fraud in past elections. For years, the Chicago machines manufactured ballots to swing the state into the Democratic column, and they would wait on election night until the votes downstate had been counted, and they knew how many more ballots they had to manufacture, and then they did it. And, Truman's victory over Dewey may well have been caused solely by the Chicago machine, which gave, Illinois to Truman.
Interesting. Well, we know for sure Kennedy's victory was purely a result of voter fraud in Texas and in Illinois. We know this for sure, and who knows? It might have even had something to do with his assassination. But, we have this thing now called the blockchain technology, which really does have the ability to eliminate virtually all voter fraud because, you're supposed to have a secret ballot, and I guess that could be accomplished there. But the blockchain shows everything. It's this incorruptible ledger of votes or of any other transactions that take place. It's a transaction tracking system. You think the blockchain can bring integrity to American elections?
Well, I'm not familiar so much with that, but I know that no system is going to be adopted nationwide unless it's forced on them by the federal government, who has to pay for it too. I think that the cheap and easy fix is to require photo IDs in federal elections. You can do that with a paragraph in a bill and require it. This argument that there are poor people out here that lack a photo ID yet who vote, it strikes me as just absolutely ridiculous. You can't do anything in America without a photo ID. You can't buy tobacco. You can't buy alcohol, beer. You can't open a bank account. The federal government says you can't open a bank account. The federal government even requires you to have a photo ID to register at a motel. Right. Can't fly on an airplane. Can't drive a car.
Can't rent a car.
Can't get a fishing license. Can't get a hunting license. And even my wife noticed yesterday, you have to have a photo ID to get a flu shot in Colorado. And so, you can't get food stamps. You can't get welfare. You can't get any public assistance without a photo ID. And so the idea that there is somebody out here that doesn't get public assistance, doesn't cash checks, doesn't draw unemployment, doesn't smoke, drink, fish, hunt, own a gun, any of that stuff, and still wants to vote, that's ridiculous. The only person I know, American, who that applies to is Bigfoot, and Bigfoot doesn't vote, or I don't think he does anyway.
What you say is absolutely true. You must have a photo ID. And if you don't have a bank account, then you're using check cashing stores.
Yes.
And they require you to have a photo ID. They're not going to cash a check for you. No one is cashing a check for you on this planet unless you have photo ID. So debate here? You can't get into a federal, like you said, most federal buildings, a lot of them you have to show ID now. Every place you go, to get into my little HOA here in Florida, they want to see either a license or government issued ID. So you couldn't get into my place unless you lived here without it. I mean, how many people do you personally know that don't have an ID, Stephen? Do you know anyone who doesn't have an ID?
I don't know any. And I don't think of any of these federal lawsuits to fight the photo ID requirement, I don't think they've ever produced.
They're bogus.
An American eligible to vote without a photo ID. First place, it couldn't get him into the courthouse.
Yeah.
And so, this whole thing is absolutely ridiculous. The idea that there are poor people of whatever race sitting out here in the hills and hollows that would be prevented from voting if we required a photo ID. Now, there are people that couldn't vote, and they're called illegal immigrants and illegal aliens, but no American citizen.
Of course not. So I wanted to get more into your book. So obviously it's a cliffhanger, nail biter, thriller. And what's the lesson of the whole of your book and its basis, its connection to reality?
Well, I hope that it connects up to reality in a way that in the book, the premise is that that voting machines are fixed in key counties. And the idea is to swing the election to one candidate. But the question is, which candidate? Are they inflating the vote or are they suppressing the vote? And so, you know, you could take it either way. But anyway, the book is complex. The plot is complex and will leave you guessing, hopefully, till almost the very end.
Well, hey, that's the kind of book that we like. Surprise ender, you know, a surprise ending, because we really, so much of our lives today, even though with technology, everything else, Stephen, is so predictable and so expected, and fairly rarely does it actually upset or surprise. And sometimes I think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but sometimes I think the only surprises other than the outcome of the last election are in books such as yours, where there is a twist and a sudden deviation at the end and leaves you off someplace different than you ever expected to be.
Well, you know, one of the problems in writing fiction is that you have to have cause and effect. In real life, there is no such thing. And real life is insanity. It's random chance. You know, we've got some really seriously crazy people out here in public office. As Will Rogers says, you know, some of these people shouldn't even be trusted to carry matches. And so, yes. You know, you can't do that in fiction. Fiction has to have this cause and effect chain. It has to go throughout it. But boy, real life is doesn't. And that's scary when you try to predict how the future is going to go, because, you know, who would have predicted that Judge Moore down in Alabama, after what, 30, 40 years on the bench in public life, gets a nomination to be the U.S. Senate candidate in Alabama, and all of a sudden some crazy ding-dong comes out of the woodwork and starts screaming that he molested her 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no way to tell whether that's true or not. And then some other ding-dongs say, oh, if that's true, these ding-dongs are U.S. senator. If that's true, he ought to resign. What? It isn't true.
Yeah.
You know?
It's crazy. Well, you know, Mark Twain said it best. He said, truth is stranger than fiction. Fiction is limited by the imagination, and truth isn't. And
that's true.
Certainly
that's
the
no
case. Certainly the case here. Well, Stephen, how many books have you written, by the way, during your lengthy career?
Well, I've had 39 published under my name. Oh. And well, actually, that's 38. One was I wrote under a pen name, Eve Adams, The Garden of Eden. And so I invite you to look for that. You'll only find it in the used bookstores, and you might enjoy it.
Yeah, wherever fine books used to be sold, that's probably where
that's
we'll find
correct.
That one, right? Well,
that's right.
I really applaud your finding your calling, your ability to write these books and keep selling them to a larger and larger audience. I mean, that really is a noteworthy accomplishment.
Well, I don't know that it amounts to much, you know, making books, there is no end, but I enjoy it. It's entertainment, and I apologize to no one. Some people like them and some people don't, but no one likes everything.
Hey.
And so, you know, you can't please everybody, and only a fool would try. And I'm not a fool.
Well, you know what? You have to please yourself first and foremost. Obviously,
yes.
You've done a great job of doing that. If you got a question for Stephen or myself, be part of the show. Write us. I answer everything, and I'll even refer to it during the shows. Got to start doing that more often. Again, the Twitter feed's at Kerry Lutz. The Facebook page is Financial Survival Network. Stephen, great luck on this, but I think you've already got the luck point handled, and I'm sure it's going to be another bestseller. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you so much for having me. You have a great day.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get 3 free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.